Welcome to today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. This is episode 143, and I'm your host, Katie Hake. Today, we're going to talk about why all your quarantine snacks are gone and really dive a lot deeper into not just the habits, but really the mindset around stress and nutrition and how you can best use nutrition to support yourself during this time that really is unknown for all of us. Now, of course, you know I'm a dietitian and I do offer both one-on-one and group nutrition services, but we are going to link in the show notes to some free resources that you can connect with regardless of where you're at in the country about just ways to continue to keep yourself in the right headspace during this time because, you know, social media, there's so much out there that joke about this topic, but I know from experience from working with a lot of clients who suffer from disordered eating is that these jokes can be funny, but at the end of the day, there can be a lot of truth and a lot of hurt and a lot of stress and uneasiness to the things that we see on social media. So today we're going to create that space, regardless of where you're at on that spectrum of feeling stress and overwhelm when it comes to food, and hopefully give you some tangible takeaways that help you have a better relationship with food starting today and headed into the rest of your life. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. I feel like on those shows where they do like a documentary and they're like day 14, first of all, I don't even know what day it is. I know it is Tuesday. I think this is the third week of quarantine, but I'm sure like many of you, the days are starting to run together. I feel like I'm starting to kind of get the swing of things, but you know, every day is an adjustment. I'm currently recording in Joey's closet because my recording studio, aka the guest bedroom, aka the office, aka both of our offices now, is currently in use by him. So I'm not used to him being home on the days, which is Tuesday, which is typically the days that I record. I'm not able to go to the Hatch, which is the co-working space where I typically go to get work done. And so I'm fortunate that I have the tools and the technology to be able to do these things at home. But yeah, we are all feeling the shifts. And so what I've heard from a lot of you is that you're really struggling with stress eating. And I think that's how a lot of people have identified with. And so I wanted to take the time to hop on today. It's been a minute since I've done a solo episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to go back and listen to episode 142 with Brock Johnson. If you need a good pick-me-up, a good boost to get you ahead into the week, start there and then come back to this episode. Let me ask you this. So do you find yourself in and out of the pantry like 10 plus times a day? Do you find that being locked at home is causing you to eat every time you feel stressed or bored or need a distraction? Today, we're going to attempt to shift your mindset around food and start to look at how you actually look at food given this time, this uncharted territory that is so new, so unknown for many of us that you may be feeling confused and overwhelmed about how you're feeling around food. Okay, before we dive into the meat and potatoes of this episode, no pun intended, I feel like obligated to give you a week by week wedding update. So today we found out that our vendor is not giving us a full refund, and man, Joey, he was not happy. He wrote up an email with some choice words, and me being, I think, Enneagram type 7, 6, I need to go back and review. Those of you who are full-blown Enneagrams are probably screaming at me right now that I don't remember which number exactly I am. But anyways, I'm the positive, optimistic, outlook type of human. And so I said, why don't we press pause? Let's hit the brakes. Let's think about this before we send this not so nice email. Anyways, we went on over to Facebook to see what Facebook had to say. So if you need a little chuckle, a little laugh, because people love to give their opinions, you are always welcome to join us over on Facebook. Just search Fit Friends Tribe on Facebook, request to join, and you'll get to keep up with all the wedding gossip. I guess it's not really gossip when you're talking about yourself. But anyways, a lot of you have asked, so I had to give you that update. Back to the show. Okay, the first things first is you need to recognize if you're not okay. Like I just said, I am typically the positive, you know, proactive, uplifting, happy-go-lucky, God is good, gratitude type person. But the reality is you really need to take a step back and think, how has COVID-19 impacted you and your life? Has it caused you to be in a financial stress? Have you had to rearrange, you know, your environment? Are you working in a new spot? Is your day-to-day different? Like, what are just the different environments that you're in every day compared to what you used to be? How has that shift impacted your life? Is it impacting your relationships? Maybe you're with that significant other like more than you're used to. Or on the flip side, I know others, you know, some of my friends who haven't been able to see their significant other because of, you know, health reasons, like that can also have a negative impact. So whether it's significant others, whether it's family members, many people, I've read that it's bringing them closer together, they're feeling more connected. But I think it just depends on your personality and your type and the dynamic. And you know what that looks like for you. So start to take a step back and ask yourself, what does this look like for me? I need to just take a look in the mirror. What's happening? Acknowledge what is going on in my life right now. The reason I want you to take inventory on that is because the reality is if you are mourning over, you know, a job that you lost, or maybe you have a family member who's been actually impacted by the virus, you're not in a place to focus on your nutrition and health. You're not in a place to focus on training for a marathon or healing your relationship with food. You know, while yes, those things are important, you've heard me say it time and time again, you're in crisis mode. You are in the space where you're just trying to survive. Like, and that's okay. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. That is part of life. So let's just start to recognize it for what it is. And that is a way to start to heal your relationship with food in your body, is starting to recognize, what is it that I'm feeling in this moment, and just bring awareness to what's going on, because it's so easy. I know you're a type A. I know you're a go-getter. You want to go, go, go. Just keep pushing the pedal to the metal till you can't do no more. Can't do no more. I've been watching too much Tiger King. I'll tell you what. If you need a distractor, you need to feel better about yourself, go watch Tiger King, because that is some ridiculousness. But anyways, I digress. The reality is if you are in crisis mode, if you've got these other things going on in your life, it's not a time to really dwell on your eating habits. But starting to recognize that and starting to face, I don't want to say your problems, but to face, you know, what's happening head on is a great place to start, because we can't just go through the motions. And I mean, I've done that with food and my relationship with exercise and food, and just, but it was so much deeper, right? It was trying to distract or trying to not deal with whatever was going on in front of me. And I was using those things as a coping mechanism. And we're going to talk about that a lot more, but I just want you to take a step back, what's going on, and recognize it for what it is. Now, listen, you know, here on Fit Friends Happy Hour, if you've been with me on this journey, you know that I've like gotten into the woo-woo stuff. Like, I think it's pretty mind-boggling. Listen to Gabby Bernstein, Jesse Perry. We talk about this all the time, my good friend. But everything is backed up with science. Yes, I give you opinions and what I think on things, but when I'm giving you information, just know that it comes from a place of evidence, like research, science to support the theories and this intuitive eating, you know, philosophy, I guess, or way of eating. It's backed by science. It's not just my opinion. And I just wanted to recognize that because I think that's important. So when the body is under stress, its biological instinct is protection and survival mode. So if you're in that mode, eating more or maybe eating less than usual, that's a natural response to stress. The reality is the way we eat can often be a coping mechanism. Now, the problem comes when food or eating is your only coping mechanism. But let's recognize that for a second. Let's honor that. Let's start to go, wow, that's pretty cool that my body has this primal instinct to protect itself or to deal with you know, these outside stressors with food. You know, that's pretty remarkable if you actually think about it versus demonizing overeating. Let's start to look at the ways that that's actually a positive response, because there's many other behaviors and habits and things that we could indulge in that aren't food that could be much more harmful in the long run to our bodies and our health. I have to share with you a not so funny story. So I actually saw an IGTV this week that was being promoted for the best time to diet. And let me tell you, my friends, I about freaking lost it. Now, what's funny or not so funny about this is that the platform promoting this best time to diet talk actually invited me to do a talk about nutrition the next day. They said, well, so-and-so did this talk about dieting and it was really well received. And I went and said, well, you do know that I am going to talk about the exact opposite. So it's good for engagement, right? But that's a time for another podcast, because we know you're smarter. You're listening to Fit Friends Happy Hour. We know that diets don't work. We know that 95% of diets fail when we're talking about long run in terms of weight loss and health and longevity. And so let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to the science. So food psychologist Paul Rosen from the University of Pennsylvania, this is an older study, but I always refer to it. He did a study on a few different countries and found out that the French actually had the most food pleasure oriented and really got a lot of satisfaction from their eating, right? Like if you go to France, they're walking around drinking wine, eating baguettes, like pasta, like very rich foods, and they love their foods, right? Now, on that same spectrum, they actually were the least health oriented. Now, Americans, on the other hand, were the worst, right? They can kind of compare to all these different countries, is that Americans had the greatest worry over health. They had the greatest, you know, sense of worry over eating. They had more dissatisfaction with what they ate. You know, they didn't eat because they enjoyed it. They just kind of ate foods to eat them. And Americans actually scored the highest on worrying about weight gain or the fat content of foods. And what this study in particular concluded was that the negative impact of worry and the negative impact of stress over healthy eating, right, can actually have more of a profound effect on our health than the food itself. So stress can actually trigger cortisol, which is a stress hormone that is much more harmful to our health. You know, that's why maybe, you know, I know there's been members of my family who have had heart attacks, right? Like healthy, active women at the age of, you know, early 40s who've had a heart attack from stress. Nothing to do with the foods that they ate, but it just goes to show you that that can be just as, if not more, harmful than the actual foods that we're eating itself. So taking a minute to step back and recognize, what is the state that I'm in? What am I feeling in terms of this whole situation? And maybe start to shift your priorities about, what do I need to focus on? Should I be focusing on dieting right now? Is it the best time to focus on weight loss? And I challenge you to start to really think and challenge those beliefs about why you're prioritizing whatever it is. Next, I want you to ask yourself, is there a theme to your stress eating? Is this time where you feel like you're eating more than you'd like, is it conscious? Like, are you aware of what's happening, or is it unconscious? The best example I have for this is, imagine the last time you went to a movie theater, although I honestly can't think of the last time I went to a movie theater. But let's say a time in your life where you bought Milk Duds or candy or popcorn, or maybe you were sitting at home on the couch watching a movie, and before you know it, right, you're eating and suddenly, like it feels like it happens really suddenly, you're scraping the bottom of the container and the food is gone, right? It's kind of this, I didn't even realize I was eating. Like you were on autopilot, right? You're focused on something else while you're eating food, right? Now, there can kind of be a spectrum in terms of eating. You know, I kind of call it chaotic eating, or like we said, unconscious eating, because there are more intense situations, and we're not going to dive too much into today's episode on that, but where it's almost like you're blacking out when you're eating, right? You're completely zoned out. And I do work with clients who kind of have found themselves in that end of the spectrum where it's almost like not even aware at all of what's happening. maybe you identify that there's a certain time of day that this eating occurs. So maybe it's always in the evening. Maybe it's always mid-afternoon. You know, I was working with a client this morning, actually, and he realized that, gosh, it's always in the evening. It's always this time between like 5 and 7. And after more talking, we identified, well, it's because he's not eating dinner until 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And so basically what he's kind of doing or has been doing is snacking his way through what should be a meal. He ended up just kind of snacking and snacking and snacking because really his body needed was to sit down and have an actual meal. Next, what I want to do is actually take you through an intuitive eating quiz. Now, this comes directly from the intuitive eating book. Now, keep in mind, there is a new version coming soon, which I'm super excited about. I think it releases in June, maybe June or July, but it is called Intuitive Eating. So you can actually look that up on Amazon or Barnes and Noble, wherever you bookshop. And it's by Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch. So they are the authors, but this is found on page 20. So if you have the Intuitive Eating book, this is a great place to look at. It's a great resource. I mean, I highly recommend it, obviously. But I'm just going to read through 6 questions, and I want you to just answer yes or no, whether you're sitting in your car, you're working out, wherever it is that you're listening to this. Number one, I find myself eating when I'm feeling emotional, whether it's anxious, sad, depressed, even when I'm not physically hungry. Number two, I find myself eating when I'm bored, even when I'm not physically hungry. Three, I cannot stop eating when I feel full, not overstuffed. I'll stop eating when I feel overstuffed, but when I feel full, I can't stop. Number four, I find myself eating when I'm lonely, even when I'm not physically hungry. Five, I use food to help me soothe my negative emotions. And six, I find myself eating when I'm stressed, even when I'm not physically hungry. Now, if you answered yes to any of those questions, that's a pretty good sign of that you are, you know, eating for emotional rather than physical reasons. So, you know, if you found yourself answering no, I mean, then it may not necessarily be stress eating, right? Or may not be emotional eating. So again, if you answered yes to any of those questions and if this is sitting with you not so well, I mean, I completely want to normalize that. That's normal to feel the way that you're feeling, but I do challenge you to consider diving deeper into the root cause, right? Because what you've identified, which is a huge step, give yourself a pat on the back for that, is that you've identified that, yes, you are using food for emotional purposes, not just physical. And that's normal, right? You're not alone. I guarantee probably 9 out of 10 people who are listening to this right now answered yes to at least one of those questions. The reality is it sucks and no one likes to hear it. Nobody likes to do the hard work. That's why intuitive eating isn't sexy. It's not, you know, promoted. It doesn't sell. It's because it's the hard stuff. It's the hard work. It's taking a step back and digging deeper into the root of our problems, our challenges, our beliefs when it comes to food. And it's starting to recognize that if I am using food as a coping mechanism, recognizing that eating and food itself will not solve the problem if it's something deeper. And maybe that something deeper is what you've identified at the beginning of this episode, right? Maybe you've identified like there's a serious financial concern in your family and you're using food as a way to kind of distract. And so what I challenge you today is to, now that you know kind of the root of it or you're starting to think about it, think about some other ways, brainstorm some other ideas, what you can do to take action towards that. I know in one of my Facebook groups, we talked about that. Like we talk a little bit about business here on this episode, and we talked a little bit about business with Brock last week on the previous episode, episode 142, but I am more than happy to brainstorm with you some ideas. If you're in a financial constraint and you're like, Katie, I don't know what to do. I mean, I am no expert. I will tell you that much, but maybe I can give you some ideas or point you in the right direction as far as resources go, you know, to whatever it is that you need or that you're struggling with. You can always email me, email fitfriendshappyhour@gmail.com. I'm happy to respond there or just join the Facebook because chances are if you have the question, you're probably not alone. Okay, third, let's say you run through that quiz. You're like, yeah, it's a little bit of emotional eating, but not really. You're like, nah, I usually can stop when I'm full. I don't feel like it's really emotionally based. Ask yourself, are you restricting? Do you find yourself kind of wandering in and out of the pantry, kind of grazing all day versus eating regular meals and snacks? Because if you kind of find yourself grazing, what you may identify as stress eating may actually just be you're not eating enough, or you're not eating, you know, large enough quantities. Maybe the components of your food could be shifted a little bit to sustain you longer in the day. So maybe start to ask yourself, am I eating enough at the beginning of the day, let's say? If you've pinpointed that, let's say evenings are always the time that you tend to overeat or stress eat, maybe the reality is you just need to eat more during the day, because by the time you actually feel your hunger towards the end of the day, you are like, oh my gosh, you're just famished. You're just, it feels chaotic. It feels like you're overeating, but really you're just kind of making up for what you didn't eat earlier in the day. I hope that makes sense. And the last thing I want to leave you with is the question to ask yourself, do I have a scarcity mindset? Now, I went to the grocery store. I ventured out last night, which was felt like the first time to go anywhere in weeks. And it's so crazy that even, you know, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks into all of this, and still the grocery stores were deserted. I mean, there was empty shelves everywhere. And you want to know why that is because when this whole thing erupted, what happened was a sense of panic. And people started to have this scarcity mindset around food, that if I don't get it now, let's say the toilet paper, for example, if I don't get that toilet paper now, I need to not just get some of it. I need to get as much as I can now, because I don't know when and if I'll get it again. Now, think about the last time that you went on a diet, or, you know, you had a certain food in the house. We call this intuitive eating, Elise and Evelyn, who created the concept. They call this the last supper eating, meaning when we feel like we're not going to have access to something, we kind of go all out, right? Like, this is the last time I'm going to get it. I don't believe, whether that's conscious or subconscious, I don't believe that I'm going to have access to this ever again or in the near future. So I better load up as much as I can right now. So this can be really common, and feeling that feeling of scarcity is not just you. It is the society that we live in. It's, you know, what you're seeing on social media. It's everything in this season of coronavirus, but it's also can come with the history of dieting, or if you have a strong history of food rules and belief, you know, deeply rooted in kind of this diet culture, that can be contributing to that scarcity mindset as well. So just start to ask yourself, what are my beliefs around food? Do I really feel like I have full permission to eat these foods in any amount? Because that's really the foundation is what is my relationship look like with food? And do I trust it to, do I trust my body to tell me when I'm hungry and when I'm full? Oh, I'm sorry if you're feeling like today is a heavy episode, but I think this is so important. It's such a hard topic that, let's face it for what it is. Let's address it, and let's either kind of find different healthier strategies to cope through the season that we're in, because we're going to get through it, right? We're going to be better. We're going to be stronger on the other side of it. So wherever you're at on the spectrum listening to this, you may be thinking more short term, how can I just survive from day to day here? But I also challenge you to think long term, right? How can I, you know, start to shift my thinking around food and exercise and start to have that greater long term mindset as well? Now, four questions that you can ask yourself today that will hopefully give you some, just a quick checklist that you can go through this week or today, whatever it is next time that you eat, to help you start to really, really kind of untangle things, I guess is the best way to put it. So number one, ask yourself, how can I be grateful for my body today? What is something that I'm just appreciative for? So maybe I'm grateful that even though my butt hurts from sitting all day, I am grateful that I have the ability to stand up, walk around, go outside for a walk. Number two, how can you respect and honor your body today? Now, that can be as simple as a self-talk in your head. That can be as simple as using nutrition as a form of self-care. So eating regular meals, giving yourself a break to step away from your desk or your work to eat a snack, you know, not letting yourself getting consumed in the work. Or number three, how am I feeling? And number four, what do I need? So identify that feeling. Identify whether it's stress, boredom, anxiety, you know, what is it and what do I need in this moment? You may find today, maybe it's Wednesday that you're listening to this and you're like, man, I'm not hungry. I'm tired. and I need a nap. So instead of doing XYZ, you know, on my lunch break or after work, whatever it is that's going on in your house, I'm going to take a nap. Because that is a way of respecting your body and giving your body what it needs. So fill in the blank what that means to you. And I really hope that you take a lot of consideration with today's episode. Join our Facebook group. Let's talk about it. Let's continue the conversation, because that's what we're here for. We're here to be better. We're here to be better, stronger, happier, healthier versions of yourself. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but we know that just because it's difficult doesn't mean we shouldn't do it anyways. Make sense? All right. Love you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. We'll see you on Facebook. And of course, if you haven't already, be sure to hit that subscribe button. Leave us a review, because this is how we reach other people who need to hear our message.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.